Haven't seen you in a while. How have you been? Have you changed your style? And do you think that we've grown up differently? We don't seem the same. It seems you've lost your feel for me. So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. This nearly nanosecond-long tariff war yesterday seems to be resolved today, says ABC's Rachel Scott.
For hours, the two allies locked in a tense standoff after Colombia refused to accept two military deportation flights from the U.S. President Trump responding, vowing to impose 25% tariffs on all Colombian imports, which experts say would have devastated Colombia's economy and raised the price of everything from coffee to crude oil, bananas, and flowers for U.S. consumers just before Valentine's Day.
It's Holocaust Remembrance Day at a time of rising hate and anti-Semitism. A ceremony at the former Nazi death camp Auschwitz in Poland drew some world leaders and a dwindling number of survivors, all urging the world not to forget. Rain easing after Southern California's first significant storm of the season helped fire crews but caused ash, mud, and debris to flow across streets in wildfire-burned areas. This is ABC News. New York City Mayor Eric Adams will limit his public schedule this week, and aide says he's undergoing routine medical tests during a series of doctor's appointments. He's 64. He was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in 2016. New details regarding last month's horrific crash in South Korea.
Both engines of the Jeju Air flight that crashed last month in South Korea contain duck remains, according to a preliminary report released on Monday. We're also learning the final 4 minutes of recordings from both the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder are missing. Officials are still trying to figure out what caused the crash that left 179 people dead. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News. At the foreign desk.
Police in the Netherlands are on the hunt for three people who pulled off an overnight heist at a Dutch museum. They used explosives to blow open a door and make off with several gold artifacts, including a golden 5th century Romanian helmet on loan from Romania. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
If you love designer brands and you love clearance, then you're going to love this. Macy's is having a huge designer clearance event right now with incredible new designer markdowns on cold weather styles from BCBG, Hugo Boss, Michael Kors, and more. How big are the markdowns? How about Coach boots for $200 or less? So if you're looking for the things you love all in one place, come in and shop the designer clearance event at Macy's today. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Oh, by the way, Ivan's no longer on the project. His wife got a new job, so they're moving across the country.
Robin's top researcher is deviating to a new market. This isn't standard.
And now we're short-staffed. Who's going to finish all these projects?
She needs a cluster of new data analysts, and there's no margin for error.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Flu hospitalizations at UW Health in Madison are at their highest number in 3 years. 40 patients have been hospitalized there for the flu. Dr. Dan Shirley says there's things to do to make sure you and your loved ones are staying safe.
People mostly should pay attention to their own health and their family's health, and if you're sick, first step is to stay home and try to keep yourself away from others as much as you can. If you need to go out, for example, we have things to suggest, like wearing a mask or staying out of large groups.
Shirley says it's also crucial for people to get tested, especially those older than 65 or the very young. A Minnesota man accused of helping his son hide four bodies in western Wisconsin is sentenced to prison.
The victims were shot and killed in St. Paul in September 2021. Darren L. Osborne's son, Antoine Suggs, was convicted of the killings in 2023 and is serving a 103-year sentence. Online court records show a Dunn County judge on Thursday sentenced the 59-year-old St. Paul man to 16 years in prison, or 4 years for each victim. Osborne also received received 8 years extended supervision. In October, a jury found him guilty of 4 counts of hiding a corpse. He's currently in the Dunn County Jail and will serve his Wisconsin sentence concurrently with the remainder of a 5-year sentence he received in Minnesota in 2022. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin home sales rose nearly 5% last year, but there continues to be an affordability problem. Wisconsin Realtors Association economist Dave Clark.
Prices have been going up, certainly at a fairly robust rate. That's really because we have tight supply and still have pretty strong demand for housing.
The realtors report prices increased nearly 9%, with a median price of $310,000 last year, but much higher than that in both the Milwaukee and Madison areas.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few sprinkles or flurries today and a warmer day, but the main story will be the breeze. High temperatures in the mid to upper 30s. Wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, still breezy with lows in the upper teens. Still breezy on Tuesday with a high near 40. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Current temperature is 33.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Digging for information on crop potential in South America this week. We'll get you what you need to know, starting with a weather outlook and then a summary of current conditions. And it is Monday. That means it's time for an update from the used machinery market.
Live from the home of the nation's most cherished football champions,
via
Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete Greg Peterson. Then it's Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor, and directly following the news, Brett Waltz from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the chief of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations. Are you talking about the Philadelphia Eagles making it back to the Super Bowl?
Well, congratulations to them, too. I'm sure they, do a pretty good job with football, but I'm talking about Kansas City. Dude, Kansas what City a game. Chiefs. What a game. Wow.
Yep. I hear you. And lots of conspiracy theories out there, Davis.
I know. And that's the thing, there's a lot of talk around KC. At some point,
you're
the underdog.
Yep.
Everybody's like, yeah,
us
underdog.
Against them. KC against the world.
Yeah, now you're the villain.
Yep, that is a message that they will pound home, no question about. Congrats to the KC Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Congratulations to us all. I was the same way, though, with enough with the Tom Brady, enough with the Patriots.
Yeah. You know,
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
But
it's my city now.
this is a legit, unbelievably legit chance at history here.
It really is.
With a three-peat.
Yep.
So, boy, talk about it. A story full of drama. Here we go.
I'd like to get by Buffalo a little easier than we did. I'll be honest.
That's a good team, man.
It's an excellent team, dude.
Yeah. Just keep bringing them on, checking them off, right?
I know.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
Hello.
It's Monday. That means we're going to have the conversation with Greg Peterson. This is a big week for South American crop potential, for identifying, for zeroing in on what the potential of the crop is going to be down there. Yeah. We're going to get it kicked off with Dr. Michael Cordonier. Looking forward to that conversation with Michael. And, of course, we'll get the weather outlook here in just a bit from Brett. All right, let's go ahead and get started with the news.
Sure thing, Chip. Let's start with the weather. A winter storm will continue to produce showers and thunderstorms and higher elevation snow over parts of the southwestern United States through tomorrow. There is a risk of debris flows and below and around recent burn scars. An Arctic front will cross the Great Lakes in New England tonight into Wednesday, bringing gusty winds and snow squalls, which could make for a difficult travel trip. We've seen it time and again, wildfires followed by rains, followed by mudslides. It's a terrible cycle.
Yeah. Sounds like the rainfall amounts have backed off just a bit, but it does not take much in the conditions that they've got out there to get those debris flows going down those mountains.
Yep. Well, looky here, a USDA daily export sale reported 139,000 metric tons for Mexico for the 24-25 marketing year. Crude oil prices edged higher on Friday, but ended the week with losses, breaking a four-week streak of gains. And earnings season is here, Chip. Four of the Magnificent Seven companies scheduled to report: Microsoft, Facebook or Meta Platforms, and Tesla on Wednesday, followed by Apple on Thursday. Other major names that will be reporting include Boeing, Starbucks, IBM, Visa, Caterpillar, and Intel. It'll be a good little check of the stock market's temperature here, Chip.
Absolutely, it will be. Those are the big ones. Once we get an idea of where those Magnificent Seven are going, we'll figure out where this market's going.
You bet. And we'll get more from Cordonier on this. Just some generalities here. As of last Thursday, AgriRal estimated Brazil's soybean harvest at 3.9%. Last year, they were at 10.8% on the same date. It's the slowest pace since 2021. Safrinha corn planting at 2.2% is behind the usual pace of 11.4% from last year. Reduced rains across central Brazil should allow for improved soybean harvest progress. And Safrinha corn planting, though, both are likely to remain delayed. A quick another note on Brazil here. Brazil anticipates China's suspension of soybean imports from five companies due to plant health concerns could last about 2 months, Chip, despite the suspension. And this is good perspective over here. There are five companies suspended. Over 1,700 Brazilian entities remain authorized to export soybeans to China. So they can still buy some beans.
Yeah, pretty easily.
They'll find them.
Yes,
they'll find them. Yeah. Well, the Trump administration has intensified efforts to fulfill a campaign promise of targeting undocumented immigrants. Nearly 1,000 arrests have been reported across the United States as part of an immigration enforcement blitz led by ICE. On Sunday, and these two are kind of related here, Chip, President Trump announced sweeping retaliatory measures against Colombia via tariffs, citing its refusal to allow U.S. deportation flights to land. Within hours, the dispute was resolved, and Colombia agreed to accept deported migrants, quote, without limitation or delay.
Yeah, that story was done before it was a story.
Yeah.
It happened very, very quickly and very effectively.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to the Wall Street Journal, momentum is building among President Trump's advisors to impose a 25% import tariff on goods from Mexico and Canada as early as February 1st. This move defies expectations in Washington and on Wall Street, where analysts had anticipated Trump might soften his stance in exchange for concessions. And just one more here. The Senate this week will continue to focus on nomination hearings and floor votes on Trump administration nominees. President Trump meets with GOP House members in Miami. The Fed holds its two-day monetary policy meeting Tuesday and Wednesday with a pause to recent rate cuts expected. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Chip.
Okay. Middle of the country. What are you looking at this week?
Yeah, aside from that little clipper in the Great Lakes that you all talked about there earlier, there's not a whole lot. A little rain system in there later this week, but it's going to be milder, not terribly active. So a little bit of a deviation, at least in terms of the cold, this upcoming week. It should be one of the milder stretches we've had in some time.
What about the Southwest, Texas, Panhandle? Is there a storm headed that direction?
Yeah, a lot of rain this week in the Gulf Coast region. So some areas that got a lot of snow last week going to get several inches of rain across the Southeast Plains and the Deep South, lower Mississippi River Valley region as we work over the next 7 days.
All right. Take us to Brazil, northern production areas, central Brazil. Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
Yeah, so still plenty of rain, I would say, over the next 10 days. Maybe a little bit of a lull in the short term, but it looks quite active out through the first week of February before those areas start to dry out perhaps a little bit into the second week of the month.
Okay, so you do see a potential change in the pattern out there.
Yeah, at least for a brief time. I'm not convinced it's necessarily sustained, but I do think that there can be a stretch in there that's at least a little bit less active. I wouldn't call it dry, though. Less active, not a soaked, but I wouldn't necessarily call it dry either.
Excellent. Okay, Argentina, southern Brazil?
Yeah, so the next 7 days, not super active, except for areas just north of Cordoba. I do think that changes into February. I think that it's pretty active in those regions as we start out the month of February, so a little bit of a change there coming too.
Fantastic. Man, we appreciate these conversations with you every Monday. Thanks, Brett.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
All right, Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. It's Monday morning. You know what that means. It is time for an update from the used machinery markets. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, is up next here on AgriTalk.
When you're a grower, a land loan is more than money. It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money, borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners, NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities, I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/notalone.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first. With farmland rates as low as 5.76%, visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Monday morning. Monday morning means it's time for a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Hey, Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Sun's shining. It's a bright, nice, warm Monday morning, so doing well.
Yep, absolutely. It the sun shining does a lot to perk up our spirits. There's no doubt. Okay, let's get started with the pick of the week. What do you got?
Well, if I might just digress just for a second before I hit the pick of the week, I do want to give a shout out. Saturday night, I know you've been up to talk to these good folks, Chip, years past, but Saturday night, the McLeod County Soy and Corn Growers had me up to speak at their annual event, and what a great deal we had there in Glencoe, Minnesota. We had about 200 folks come out, and a great night, and I really liked they had two local FFA chapters kind of come and give an update. Yeah. And the kids got up, young gals got up, and man, they just did an awesome job talking in front of 200 people, and got a chance to visit with them afterwards. So just a shout out, not just McLeod County, but all across your listening area here, the U.S., for folks, farmers that give their time to be on the local county, you know, corn, soy, livestock, dairy, cotton, wheat associations. Hats off to you folks to do that, because everyone's busy, and for you to do that is just fantastic. So hats off.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that. That's really cool. That's really cool. And I was actually over in Franklin County, Iowa, on Saturday night for a cattleman's meeting.
Nice.
And, they do such a good job, and it's phenomenal.
You know, we live in a world and a culture. Everything is so short-sighted, but these associations on behalf of fellow growers and members to try and establish markets across the world, it's really needed. And again, just a hats off to those people.
Sure is.
Okay, now if I pivot to pick of the week, this is for you John Deere lovers out there. Last Thursday, I'm guessing a lot of people saw this. It was on a BigIron.com auction for a farm family out of Sheffield, Illinois, 1980 John Deere 4640. Now, it was showing 1,708 hours, but it's been overhauled in a reman engine, quad range, kind of basically tons of detailed work done to make it look like new. And, I mean, it did look like new. Really? Sold for $57,250, and that's the third highest auction price ever on a Deere 4640. Now, people might remember the record is still at 61K. That was an auction I covered in Bingham Lake, Minnesota, back on August 3rd of 19. Sullivan Auctioneers had that one. And if that wasn't a very unusual one, it was a one owner, only 826 hours, went for 61K. I saw another one owner with 1,857 hours go for 59,000 back in June of 22 out of Lamar's, Iowa. But 57 and a quarter last Thursday out of Sheffield, Illinois. That was number three, so I was quite a tractor.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. Let's keep rolling right into some of the trends and the other sales prices that you're seeing. Take us to Bakersfield.
Yeah, Baskerville, Virginia on Saturday. It was a farm auction for Michael Wells, farm retirement auction by a great young auctioneer, Jason Acock. Jason Acock Auctioneering. A lot of nice equipment on this sale. Folks maybe saw the YouTube video I posted of it Saturday evening, but they had a John Deere 6120M, 1671 hours with a 620R loader. That brought $100,000, which I thought that was pretty strong coming out of Southern Virginia with almost 1700 hours at 100K. And an older combine kind of caught my eye there too, a John Deere 9550, 1622 SEP hours. That went for 55K. And they also had a couple other items of note. They had a little 10-foot no-till drill, which those are always a little harder to find, those 10-footers. Mm-hmm. They had a John Deere 1590, went for 27.5. And, so good sale there Saturday. And I will be this Saturday getting my butt down to North Carolina for another auction by Jason Acock Auctioneering. We're going to film this for our Machinery PTV show. It is in Seven Springs, North Carolina. Carey Family Farms, super nice equipment on the sale Saturday, February 1st, folks. Check it out, acockauctioneering.com. John Deere 8285R, John Deere 8235R, 7610, super sharp John Deere 4730 sprayer, super sharp 9670 STS combine. So, yeah, it'll be fun to get down to North Carolina on Friday and Saturday for that one.
Okay. All right. We're getting to the end of the first month of 2025 here, Greg. Are you noticing any trends?
Well, we're starting to get enough data where we can start to do some analyzing, and there was a big sale Saturday. I'm sure everyone saw it. It was in Paris, Missouri by the great team at Wheeler Auctions and Real Estate, their huge annual January sale, and a lot of late model equipment. So I was, my nose was in the into that data. And for example, they had four 22 model John Deere 8R410s.
Okay.
And our range went from 680 to 973. And the prices, they were high was 353, 347,000, 338,000, 337,000. So, and they all had warranty.
Okay.
So if you took the average of those four 22 models, it was 343,750. Okay. Now, last year, the average auction price on a 22 model 8R410 was $349,660 bucks. And that average last year on a 22 model, that was down 14.2% from 23, when a 22 model is going for $407,423. Okay. So really, Chip, I think a couple things I'd say. That drop last year on a 22 model 8R410, and you could extrapolate this across all colors and high horse models, down 14.2%.
Yep.
That's not as much as I thought it would drop given how many were sold.
Yep.
And if you compare back to a decade ago, that last, the biggest drop I've ever seen, 14 and 15.
Yep.
The percentage drop back then was more like 18 to 22, 18 to 25%. So I think tractors, high horse late model tractors have been holding in there pretty good. Now, last year, when we hit June 1st, is when they started to slide a little bit. Mm-hmm. So guessing that 25, we may see that same pattern, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It's just trying to figure out how this thing is going to operate and some of the outside influences. They're not outside influences. They all impact revenue. But, you know, we've gotten word that the ERP payments are going to be coming. There's an economic or a financial aid payment coming. The markets have already turned around. And I just wonder if maybe we might not catch a bid and stop the machinery market from sliding as deep as what we thought it might.
Yeah, again, you know, guessing what any market's going to do is fun. We all do it, whether it's stock market, you know, commodity prices, used machinery. But guessing is guessing, and facts are facts. So that 14% drop last year was, you know, that was more, and actually somewhat more towards normal depreciation on a year-over-year basis that I've seen over the 35 years tracking this stuff. Now, combines have been falling more, late model combines. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. The rate of turn, I keep talking about this, but the number of 1-, 2-, 3-year-old units, high horse tractors, everything sold last year at auction was up about 125 to 150% versus the previous year and the same or more versus 10 years ago, the last big downturn we had. So given that fact that we saw all this excess late model stuff hit the auction market, I would have thought that, you know, something like an 8R410 would have fallen more than 14%. Now, what people talk about when they verbalize it, they look at that price of that $353,347 and they go, oh my God, that's so much cheaper. Well, the price of new. Yeah. It's true. The list price, brand new, but we're talking 22 models here. And then again, of course, the other thing I track is the dealer advertised price on a 22 model. And again, They're sliding, but they're nowhere near the slide that I saw a decade ago in 14 and 15. Not yet, anyway. A combine's a little different story, but tractors have been, so far, holding a little better.
All right. And the dealers are still aggressively managing their inventory, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And maybe next week we could talk more about, you know, changes within the dealer sector. Folks in Wisconsin maybe just saw the news, a big, again, John Deere dealer merger. Reister and Shell purchased another local dealership. And now I just got news in Illinois, Martin Tractor and Prairie State Tractor merging and merging with Heritage Tractor out of Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, and Kansas. So there's a lot happening in the dealer space, and it's driven by this inventory and the pressure on dealers to pay 8% interest on all their used stuff. But one thing I'm seeing, Chip, as these dealers get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, it is fascinating to me. They are exerting a lot of pressure back on the manufacturer. And it's doing things I've never seen before. So the ecosystem is changing as we speak.
Yeah. Well, you go through these major changes in the financial condition environment out there, and it changes everything. There's no question about it.
The one constant is change.
Yes, there you go. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Chip.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to planting, we know that it takes more than just seed and soil. It's Matthew here with Bluff Country Feed and Seed, and I know that it takes quality seed, fertilizer, as well as expertise. That is how you build a proper foundation and lay down your roots. This is exactly why we can be your experts, because we are rooted here locally. We know Bluff Country because we live here with you. Strong roots lead to a strong business and a thriving community. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 63 to 1993, March up 52 to 1954, April up 37 to 1940, May milk up 25 at 1938. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets today, live cattle markets and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly mixed. As while the cattle on feed report was indeed bullish, we have higher box beef prices. That great demand, the trade is not naive to the fact that this we're at some uncharted territory and we could be in severely overbought conditions. So some traders are deciding to take some profits today, especially in some of the deferred contracts hog markets. So they continue to move mostly higher, moving back up to resistance levels because of continued support, which they are seeing from consumer demand. February live cattle still up 65 cents to 205.42. January up $1.27 on the feeder cattle side to 279.97, while February hogs up 55 cents to 82.85. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving up mostly lower. We do have some strength in the dollar, some softer weekly export inspection reports for beans, and really just an overall continued concern about the potential upcoming tariffs against some of our trading partners. New crop corn down 6 to 455. New crop beans down 7.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you were with us on this Monday morning. It's the end of January. That means it's time to figure out exactly what we might be looking for yields and crop potential out of South America. Here to help us do that, Dr. Michael Cordonier, pro farmer, crop consultant from Soybean and Corn Advisor. Michael, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Chip, as always.
Excellent, excellent. What are you hearing from Brazil and Mato Grosso in particular? How's things looking?
Okay. Well, if you look at Brazil in general, soybeans are 3.9% harvested as of late last week compared to 10.8% last year. And speaking about Mato Grosso, they're lagging. They're 4.3% harvested compared to 21.5% last year. And the only state that's ahead of average in harvesting is Paraná. And they're 11.2% harvested compared to 18% last year. So the harvest is going better in Paraná than it is in Mato Grosso. It's been too wet, very wet. It has been, well, last week it dried up a bit, has been quite as wet this past week. But for the last month and month and a half, been very cloudy, very overcast, a lot of rain, very, very wet conditions. And people are concerned that if it doesn't stay drier, they're going to keep being behind the ball, so to speak, on harvesting. Yeah. And then, worst case scenario, your heavy rain has moved back into Mato Grosso, you could get some quality issues. Now, I haven't seen that yet. Now, yield-wise, Mato Grosso is going to have good yields. Okay. But the yields are generally coming in below what people had expected. Now, they had very high expectations because the crop looked fantastic. But even the guys with irrigated soybeans said, it just didn't quite live up to what we thought. And they attributed that to the constant overcast skies and lack of sunshine. Now, in Paraná, generally the yields are on the disappointing side. Okay. They had dry weather, especially in the western part of the state. So it's kind of a mixed bag as far as yields go. Now, Brazil's going to have a record production, okay? Don't get me wrong.
Okay, okay.
But just may not be quite as big as what some people had hoped.
Okay. So up in Mato Grosso where it's raining, Michael, are they prepared? I mean, for these kinds of conditions, you know, we've seen some of the video video on social media scares me because you never know exactly what you're looking at. But I've seen some storing of beans on the ground out in the field and stuff like that. Can they handle what's going on?
Okay, very good point. There's going to be logistical issues for sure. Because as soon as it dries up enough to harvest, everybody's going to go out there and harvest. Yeah. And here's going to be the problem. They're going to go after the beans as soon as possible, probably high moisture. They're going to get them at 18, 20% moisture, put them on a truck, take it to the grain elevator or the co-op, and you got to dry it. And there's just not enough drying capacity to handle all those high moisture beans. And nobody wants to leave them set out in the field waiting for 13, 14% moisture because you never know if more rain's coming in. And if the rain comes in and lasts for a week, then you're going to have a real problem on your hands. So those are going to be logistical issues. And this is all complicated by the fact that only about 15% of the storage is on-farm. So if you don't have on-farm storage, your combine dumps into a truck, and a truck heads to the grain elevator or the co-op. Now, if they don't have enough capacity to dry, that truck may be waiting for a couple of days to unload at the co-op or the grain elevator. And you as a farmer, if you don't have the storage on farm, you got to wait for the truck to come back. So you have to sit there and just wait. So this is, if the rain continues or even gets heavier, those are going to be logistical issues, I think, in Brazil for sure.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and if it continues, then we need to start getting concerned about the quality, as you said. But we're still early for that, I think, right?
Yeah, it's still early. I have not heard anybody say there's quality issues, but you know, that would come in February. And, of course, everybody's worried about the Safrinha corn planting.
Yep.
And right now, nationwide, 2.2% is planted. Last year was 11.5%. In Mato Grosso, which is a big Safrinha state, they're only 1.1% harvested. Last year, they were 11%. Not harvested, planted. Sorry.
Yep.
So it's going to be slow. Now, in a good week, you can harvest maybe 15% in a really good week. Okay. It's the same thing for planting. You only plant as fast as they harvest.
Right.
So I still think that there's going to be stuffing your corn planted after the ideal window closes about the 20th of February. And my guess today would be 30 to 40% of the Sauvignon corn will be planted late.
Okay.
Now, they'll plant all the way through February. That's no problem. The real tough decision comes in March. And the maximum, you might go to maybe March 10th to plant in central Brazil. Now, when you get to March, you have to worry, you know, when's the rainy season going to end? And if it looks like it's going to rain normal or earlier than normal, you got to really think twice about planting your corn, you know, into March. Now, if they get to early March and there's still plenty of soil moisture and it's raining, and the meteorologist, well, it's going to keep raining for another month or two, yeah, go ahead and plant. The economics, you know, favor corn planting. So the weather's going to determine how late they plant some of the stuff in your corn. But a good part of it is going to be planted after what they really would like to do.
Okay. All right. That's still developing on us, no question. But, boy, it's the clock is ticking, though, on that. We're talking about 3 weeks left in the optimal planting window.
Yeah, just a little bit less, a little bit more than 3 weeks. If you do 15% a week, 3 times 15 is 45. Mm-hmm. So you might get up to 50%, maybe 60, maybe, by the time the window closes. So that's why I think, you know, 30, 40% is going to be planted late.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Before we talk about southern Brazil and Argentina, what is up with China restricting the imports from those five companies? I mean, there's still lots of options for China to import beans from Brazil.
Okay.
I get that. But what's up?
Okay. It's from five individual grain locations, not five companies.
Okay.
So these five companies, each one has like one location that they said, you know, you didn't meet the phytosanitary standard. So it's minimal. It's not going to be a big deal at all.
Okay.
Those companies can still export from other locations, just those one individual locations.
Okay.
And the Chinese never actually said what the problem was. They said there were some chemical-treated soybeans in the hold of the ship, or maybe some insects. So it's a minor thing. I don't think that's going to be a very big deal at all.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, then take us down to southern Brazil and Argentina. How are things looking there?
Okay, if you go down to Argentina, they're getting some rain, but they need a lot more. And the condition of the crops have been really going downhill very quickly. You look at the soybeans. The soybeans are rated 22% good to excellent. 6 weeks ago, they were rated 68%. Good to excellent. So they've gone down every week for the last six. It's been hot and dry. They're getting a little bit better rainfall now, but not enough to change the overall pattern. And look at the corn. The corn now is rated 30% good to excellent. It too has been going down every week now for the past 6 weeks. And the two grain exchanges, they've been lowering their estimates. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange just lowered their numbers last Thursday. They dropped the soybeans down to 49.6 million tons, and they dropped the corn down to 48 million. So everybody's lowering their numbers. And I've been trimming mine as well for the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I'll probably trim them again today. So it's just hot and dry conditions infecting the crop. And one good thing in Argentina, remember last year we talked about corn leafhoppers being really bad? They disappeared this year.
Really?
In fact, in central Argentina, over 90% of the traps they set out there in the field never found one insect.
Wow.
So they're like, gee, they just disappeared this year. So that's not an issue this year in Argentina.
Okay.
It's hot and dry conditions.
Hey, what's the stage of the corn down there in Argentina?
The early planted corn is filling grain.
Okay.
And you might start harvesting a little bit in a couple of weeks. The later planted corn is probably pre-pollination or just starting to pollinate.
Okay.
So depending on when you planted, how's it been impacted by the weather, the earliest corn planted had the least impact due to the hot and dry conditions.
Okay.
The corn that was planted in, say, late October, early November, pollinated right when it got really hot. You know, last week was a really bad week in Argentina. So that's right when that corn was pollinated. If you planted late, like in December, early January, you're still vegetated. So
Okay. The
amount of damage done depends on when it was planted.
Yeah.
And both corn and soybeans now, I think corn is 98% planted, soybeans 99%. So there's just a little bit left to go, but it all depends on timing for pollination in the hot and dry conditions.
Yes, absolutely. Michael, it's always good to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Always my pleasure.
All right. That is Dr. Michael Cordonier, Pro Farmer Crop Consultant from Soybean and Corn Advisor. Davis and I will be right back.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Hey, I got you something.
What's this?
Just a little Galentine's gift from JTV.
Do you mean jewelry television? I love their jewelry. They have the
new customers get $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
And their artisan collections? Gorgeous.
Are you going to open your gift?
Oh, yeah. It's the pearl bracelet.
New customers receive $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
It's reserved for those willing to work for it. Farmers like you, who strive for bigger yields and better education. People who settle for nothing less than the very best. Because you know excellence can only be achieved through hard work, commitment, and perseverance. Take your operation to new heights and join us for the 2025 Commodity Classic, Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at CommodityClassic.com.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact. Put your contact list in your wallet, on your phone, and somewhere visible in your home. Build a kit. Store enough food and water for 3 days. Don't forget your pets. And consider buying a pre-made kit. Keep at least 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to secure the extra doses. Make copies of important documents. Keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Learn about local hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alert systems. An early warning can give you the time you need to prepare for a fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal Davis Michelson here with Chip Flory on a Monday morning, first thing this week.
Monday morning already. Wow.
I don't know about first thing. I did a couple things first.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, this is here. This is where we are now. Speaking of where we are now, I know you've got some more speaking engagements coming up. Pete was just out, Machinery Pete. Has been out and about. I know a lot of the industry. Now is the time for meetings and things.
Oh,
you
yeah.
had a meeting right there in not far from your actual stomping grounds.
No, that's
if
I'm right.
Not mistaken. Yeah, it was yeah, a short over, trip for you.
Yeah, over at Hampton, Franklin County, cattlemen on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I'm telling you, when you know that you're going to a cattleman's banquet. And you think about the meal that you're going to have, you hope it's going to be really good. This one was one that you dream of. It was unbelievable. The
Walk
prime rib,
it.
The prime,
okay,
rib,
prime rib
was
right.
so good. Uh-huh. Was so good. And then the sides, holy smokes, the home ec class comes together and makes the green bean casserole and the macaroni salad and the cheesy
no
potatoes.
Wow.
Oh, man.
This isn't just out of some freezer somewhere, is it?
No.
This is
no.
home cooking. Home this cooking.
It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I love that. One of my great joys in life is to ask you the questions that you inflict on other people. We've talked to a lot of people who've been out traveling and speaking and whatever over the years here, and you always have a question for them, and I now pose that question to you, Chip.
Oh, I know what it is.
What did you learn?
Huh? How do you like it?
What did you learn, though?
Love
seriously.
It.
What's
I
the
love
word
it.
On the street?
One of the it's heady times. It's heady times. No surprise here. But when we're talking about the amount of value that we put on an animal right now, it is very much a time in which people are interested in what they can do to protect the value of those animals. Mm-hmm. The Mexican border and the shutdown of the Mexican feeder cattle coming into the U.S. was very much a hot topic and something that people were interested in at that meeting. The other thing that I learned. Well, and I guess I didn't learn it, but it is something that I think is really, really cool. Over there in Franklin County, they do such a great job raising money for the Governor's Steer Show, which is raising money for Ronald McDonald House in Iowa. I've gotten to work with the Franklin County Cattlemen and the Friends of Franklin County Cattlemen and the Barkema Trust. I've had an opportunity to work with them 3 out of the last 4 years. And it's been a whole lot of fun. I mean, I've gotten to know Reeve and Abby and Lucy They put quality animals in the show ring down there in Des Moines for the Governor's Steer Show. They put even higher quality kids in the show ring down there. So it's been fun to work with them.
That's excellent. You base that on the rate of gain of these kids, or just general profile?
I think we're going to go with general profile.
Okay, very good.
General very profile, good. Yes.
So, talking to Michael Cordonier, there's been a lot of talk about the weather, a lot of talk about South America in general. We're very, very focused on that. Are you feeling like we picked up some new details here this morning?
I feel like the bean crop has stopped getting bigger in South America.
Okay.
Now, when a bean crop at 6.2 billion bushels stops getting bigger, it's still a huge, huge crop. And that's what they're looking at harvesting, 6.2 billion. Now, can they handle it? They've got some logistical issues. Michael talked about that.
Yep.
Could those logistical issues turn into quality issues? Yes, but we're not there yet. The other thing is, and you mentioned it in the news, there's still 1,700 locations that China's buying beans from in Brazil. They shut down five. They shut down five individual locations, as Michael explained. So I think that's important for us to understand that it's not likely to turn into additional demand for U.S. beans when they've still got plenty of options buy beans out of Brazil.
Well, and I need to correct myself, too. I did write five companies earlier this morning in the news.
Yeah, five locations.
Good of Michael to straighten us out on that. There's still 1,700 locations authorized to export there. Let's talk about some of this Trump stuff. The tariffs, a point of concern, consternation, furrowed brows. What's going to happen? How emblematic do you think Colombia's response to tariffs are of the way the rest of the world might respond?
I think that the Trump administration would be hoping that it's very emblematic of how the rest of the world is going to respond, because they threatened the tariffs and got a response and got the response that they were looking for. That was a trade. I mean, if we're going to call that the first trade war of Trump 2.0,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it lasted a whole 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Barely
a shot fired.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. If it wasn't for social media, would we have even known that it happened? Because it happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
If it was left to normal news outlets,
mm-hmm.
I mean, everything would have been reported in past tense, and instead we did get a taste of, oh my gosh, this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like there's a response, and wow, we are now reopened. Mm-hmm. And Colombia is not going to be facing those tariffs because they are receiving deportees in a manageable way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Happened really quick, dude. That's
super
all I'm saying.
Fast. Super
it happened fast. Really, really quick. All right. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Thank you to Greg, of course, for coming on, and Dr. Michael Cordonier. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation on this cattle market with Chris Swift, Swift Trading Company. Tomorrow morning, Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagg right here on AgriTalk.
That's right.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates.
Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, and a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. After being confirmed as defense secretary by a tie-breaking vote in the Senate, Pete Hegseth's first day at the Pentagon expected to include executive